Du hörst einen Podcast von Rabe.
I'm from Radio Rabe. We're a local radio station. We're actually all volunteers working there, so it's very, how should I say, experimental.
Great. Good. Glad to hear it.
When you're drumming, you're using your arms and your legs, all your limbs individually.
Yeah.
So that must be a real workout for your brain. Does that give you some kind of superpower? Are you like ambidextrous, or can you juggle or something like that?
I'm not very good at juggling, but I guess playing the drums is kind of like juggling in a way. But I mean, the thing is, I've been doing it for so long now, it's kind of second nature. I guess you just get into a kind of flow state with it. I'm not thinking, I mean, ideally, I'm not thinking about anything. I think you want to just have a completely clear head. If I start thinking about something, then that's when stuff starts going wrong. But so ideally, I don't really want to be thinking anything at all. I just want to just flow, you know, and it just happens.
So you don't counter anything. You're just in
I
the
try
moment.
Not to, I mean, it depends what I'm doing. I mean, with my band, this is music that I've written, and I know the music inside out. I don't need to count anything, you know, and I even. When I maybe I'm doing something or playing some music that I don't know so well, or, you know, I've got like some kind of chart that I need to follow or something, but I don't really want to be looking at a piece of paper either. I've got a very good ear, so I rely on that like more than like reading. Like my reading's not great. It's not terrible, but it's not great. But I can, you know, if I hear something two or three times, then usually I've got it. So, I don't really want to be counting when I'm playing. I want to hear it rather than like count it.
Well, I noticed you're the only one that didn't have any notes or anything. Everyone else had like some papers.
Sure, yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's my music, you know. So, although to be fair, most people in the band have pretty much memorized the set now as well. But I guess sometimes we've had like a large gap between the last show, and sometimes, you know, to remind ourselves, but yeah.
So when you're writing music, how do you do it? Do you create a rhythm and then the music comes from that?
Sometimes.
Or do you have like a melody in your head?
It could be that as well. I mean, I don't have like one sort of set way of doing things. I think, you know, sometimes, yeah, there'll be a rhythm that I've somehow like latch onto, or I'm inspired by, that might be the basis of a piece of music or a song or something. But other times it could be a melody or a bass line, or a lot of the tracks on this new record, Kaleidoscopic Visions, a lot of those songs were written at the guitar. And I'm not really a very good guitar player, but I feel like on the guitar I write quite differently to what I would write than if I was writing at the piano, for example. So that became quite an interesting process for me, to sort of explore the guitar and just different kind of voicings of chords or melodies and shapes and stuff like that, became the basis of quite a lot of the music on the new record. But then there are pieces that are based on rhythms as well. So there's a piece on there called Margaret Ann, which is dedicated to my mother, and that is based on a rhythm, a rhythm in 5/4, which I kind of lifted from another record. From another piece of music, but I was inspired by that rhythm, and then I used that as the basis of the composition.
This music is really airy. It seems to be as much about the gaps between the notes as the notes themselves. At least that's what comes across.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think that's important to me. Definitely, the negative space, the silence. I think as a musician, it's maybe harder to know when not to play than when to play. You know, it's very easy to play too much, you know, and if you're sort of trying to find something, especially as an improviser, you know, it's quite easy to fall into the trap of playing more, playing too much, when actually if you just sort of stop and listen and just allow the music to happen, that's kind of more where I'd like to be.
what strikes me, this album to me sounds a lot like spring because a lot of the music reminds me of bird songs. It's like sitting in a garden, you've just got these different melodies coming from all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the first association I had.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah, definitely. None of it is directly based on bird song, but I feel like you pick up those kind of things, you know, you hear melodies and just in your everyday environment, whether it's from birds or could even be from something mechanical or something industrial, you know, just noises, sounds, you know, they could be music as well, like if you sort of put them in that context, any sound could be music really.
At a rock show, it's sort of quite ecstatic and you get a lot of energy from the audience. And like in the evening like this, at a jazz show, it's more like a ceremony and the audience is quite silent.
Yep.
Does that affect you as a performer? Is it different?
It's definitely different. I mean, a setting like tonight is obviously much more intimate than at like a rock show, like you say, for example. But sometimes I find that to be more intense an experience when you're in a smaller room with less people, but they're all very silent and intently listening to what you're doing. You know, that I feel like sometimes that's more nerve-wracking or intense than if you're playing to like 20,000 people.
So you actually notice the energy in the room?
Yeah, it's different. You know, it's a different kind of energy, but I feel like it's not like one is better than the other, but you know, obviously playing to like big crowds is That's an incredible kind of energy, but there's something kind of, I don't know, I guess intimate is the obvious word about playing to, you know, a room of not so many people, and I like that intimacy. I think that it's good to be able to work in both scenarios.
After a big show, does it wear you out more? Does it tax you more?
I guess it depends what I'm doing, really, what band I'm playing with. You know, I mean, like with The Smile, which is the project I have with Tom York and Johnny Greenwood, that's more like a rock band. And, you know, when we're touring, we're on the road for like 3 or 4 weeks at a time and we're doing like 2 or 3 shows in a row. It can get tiring and requires sort of more energy and more sort of focus in a way, but it's just different. I don't know if it's more or less of anything, it's just kind of a different way of doing it. To say my music is a lot quieter and sort of like you say, you know, there's a lot more space in it, maybe silence and stuff like that. So, but then that requires a different kind of energy, I guess, that, you know, something that's a little bit more introverted.
How much of it is actually scripted and how much is improvised?
In some ways it's quite scripted, it's quite through composed, like the pieces themselves are quite specific in their composition and structure, but then around that framework I try to allow as much space for people to express themselves. I want them to be able to sort of be themselves, express themselves and put their own personality into the music. So there are passages of complete sort of free improvisation which then lead to very through composed passages as well, and then kind of try and mix it up as the music requires.
Is jazz music your first love? Is this your origin?
No, not originally, but when I first started playing the drums I was 9 years old. At that point I was more just into rock music, Jimi Hendrix, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Led Zeppelin, and got into like really heavy metal and like heavy rock, and then kind of when I guess I was maybe about 12, 13, I started getting into jazz, and then I became completely obsessed with jazz and was very focused on jazz music and improvising for my whole kind of teenage years. But then I've always had a very wide scope for what I listen to, and I try not to restrict myself in anything. And nowadays, I mean, my taste in music is vast. So I guess I am a jazz musician, but I do lots of other things as well. So I'm not restricting myself to just one area of music.
What I feel in jazz, the drum is very much an instrument as well. Mm. And in other types of music, it sort of just gives the rhythm, but it is not really part of the obviously ebb and flow of music.
Yeah.
And I guess for a drummer, it's probably more interesting to have all this freedom of expression.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the drums can be a very melodic instrument as well, and not just the kind of rhythmic engine of a group, but can also contribute to lots of different kind of sonorities and textures and sounds and colours. Especially with my own music, I feel like I'm exploring a lot of colour, and I guess you could say I'm kind of a colourist in a way. So I like that freedom, being able to express myself and explore the drum kit and just all the sonic possibilities that come from playing the drums, you know. But then at the same time, I also like doing things that are very clear and focused about doing like a kind of pop session or something, where it's like you just got to do this one thing and you've got to play the song and you just do it. I like that as well. I like the sort of discipline in that. So I guess I kind of want the best of both worlds. So that's the good thing about having my own band, is that I can, in my own group, I can do what I like and I can just express myself freely on the drums, you know. And then, but then I can do some other stuff where it's like very clearly like, okay, just play this beat, hold it down, that's it.
It's just very interesting to watch, because no two beats seem to be the same. It's just constantly changing throughout the song.
Sure, but I really like repetition though as well. I like loops, I like loop-based music, I like electronic music, I like rhythmic cycles that kind
like
of repeat.
Like Philip Glass music where...
Yeah,
where
minimalism. I love that kind of... I love that, you know, and I feel like there's an element of that in what I'm trying to do as well. Some minimalist kind of sensibilities. I've been really, really into Morton Feldman's music in the last few years. That's been a big inspiration for me. I find it interesting to approach jazz music or improvised music with a minimalist sensibility. I think there's a lot to explore there. But improvising within very sort of specific parameters or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Originally, I'm a designer, and work without having a brief is much more difficult than actually having some goalposts and then just seeing how you get there.
Exactly. Yeah. Framework, form, structure is everything, you know. So I think that's a big part of my music as well. So when you asked me earlier how, you know, how much is improvised, how much is composed, it's quite specific what I've written, you know, and we play what's written. So that's the framework, I guess. And then around that, there's space to embellish it and express ourselves and express the music in different ways. But that framework is there, you know, and that holds it together. I love completely free improvisation. There's some amazing music like that, and I love experiencing it live, especially. But I, you know, with my own music, I sort of feel like I'm always looking for something to sort of hang on to, like that then you can sort of use to jump off. You know, if it's just completely open ended, then I feel it can be great, but it can, you know, it could get a bit lost as well. But
yeah,
so okay. I like to have some framework. Yeah,
I guess it's also hard to listen to if you have no point of reference.
Yeah, which is great for me. Like my favorite improvisers, like pure improvisers like that, you can listen to them all night and it doesn't get boring. But it's very hard to play that like that. You know, I think a lot of those musicians are very, very dedicated just doing that, and I love that, and I have so much respect for that. And there's an element of that in what I do, but it's not purely that, you know.
I always find it very interesting to hear what music other people recommend. Do you have any recommendations?
Of course, always. Let me have a look at my phone. Because obviously, we all listen to music on our phones these days.
We do.
I buy a lot of records. I still buy a lot of records.
I do too, but my record player just broke.
Really? I've got a lot of records, but I also have three kids, so it basically means I don't get to listen to my records very much, which is fine. But I still buy them. So I buy lots of records and then I don't listen to them.
They're nice objects, but it's just more convenient to have music on the phone.
I've been listening to a bit of this Norwegian fiddle player called Hans P. Kjørstad, who I think it's amazing, and he made a record with a brilliant saxophonist that I've also really loved called Sam Gendel, who's based in LA.
Okay.
But they made a trio record him, Sam Gendel, and a keyboard player called Benny Box. So that was the first time that I heard him, but he's deeply rooted in Norwegian and Scandinavian folk music, but then he's also a fantastic improviser. So it's a really interesting combination of things, and I don't know anything about Scandinavian folk music, but it's a really interesting sound. Anyway, he's just released a new record, which is really good. There's a Japanese project called Kakuan, K-A-K-U-H-A-N. It's a duo. I think they're improvisers, essentially, but it's more electronic slash kind of noise. So it's one of the guys is from a band called Goat, a Japanese band called Goat. He's playing electronics, and then the other guy's a cellist. And I'm kind of obsessed with the cello as well. I love the cello. Amazing.
Don't the cello and the saxophone have kind of a similar tone?
I guess they're kind of mid-range. I mean, it depends which saxophone, but tenor, saxophone and the cello, I guess, are kind of mid...
This evening, the concert, at times, I found it quite hard to figure out what is now cello and what
that's
is
good.
Saxophone.
I like that. That's good. I'm pleased. Hopefully, it should sound like just one thing. You know, that's the idea. What else? Some blues. I've been listening to some blues. A guy called Junior Kimbrough. K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H.
Wow, this is all news to me.
Kind of like blues, but quite sort of trancey.
Have you heard of Julian Sartorius?
Yeah, I know Julian. He lives local, right?
Yeah. He's our local drum prodigy.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. He's fantastic. What Julian does is incredible, yeah. And then, I guess, yeah, Morten Feldman. I've been listening to a lot of Morten Feldman. A couple of months ago, I went to see a performance of one of his pieces called For Philip Guston, that he wrote for the painter Philip Guston. It was 4.5 hours long. But amazing. Like, it was an amazing experience. I'm glad I went, because I'll probably never do that again. But a 4.5 hour concert of like pure like minimalism, it was amazing.
Do you know Merzbau?
Oh, Merzbau, yeah. He's Japanese, right?
Yeah,
he is Japanese.
And
annoying.
And I saw him perform last autumn, and it was just an hour of no rhythm, nothing. It's just noise.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's just waiting for it to end. And when it ends, the sudden silence. That's
the best moment.
That is something really relieving and ecstatic. You've been through an experience.
Completely, yeah. That's what it was like seeing this concert. It was fine. I didn't leave. Like, other people were kind of getting up to go to the toilet. I managed to sit through the whole thing. And actually, it was fine. There was one point about 45 minutes in where I was like, okay, this is hard. And then I just kind of zoned out, and I would sort of drift in and out of listening, you know, but that's part of the point of the piece, I think. The duration of it starts playing with your memory. He starts repeating certain things, but in very slightly different kind of orchestration or something. So he starts playing on what you kind of hear something, and you're like, oh, have I heard that before? You know, there's a couple of moments where, you know, something happens only once or twice, and then it happens twice, and then when it happens a second time, you're kind of like, oh, we're here again. But then actually talking about the ending, that was the sort of almost the most powerful thing, because when we were sort of nearing the end, I knew we were nearing the end, and I started to think, like, okay, how are they gonna stop? And it, you know, there was a couple of moments where I thought, oh, okay, they're gonna stop now, but it carried on. And then when it actually ended, there was no drama about it. They just literally just stopped playing. And it was so powerful. I loved it. Yeah, it was really good.
Well, anyway, I think I've had enough of your time.
Great. Thank you.
Really nice to talk to
you. Yeah, likewise, Stephen. Yeah.
Du hast einen Podcast von Rabe gehört, im Sender von Bern. Mehr gibt's auf rabe.ch.